all of us here together, you can take your Bibles with me and open to James chapter 1. Back about 20 years ago, Lisette and I went through a tough season in our life, or as we talked about last week, the wording would be that we faced trials of many kinds, a testing of our faith that developed perseverance. We were blessed with two kids, Titus and Tate. They were about a year apart when they were born, and that was quite a shock. In fact, it was kind of miraculous. If you go back, I got a whole story about that. But then we found out we were pregnant again 2 years later, and this time it was with twins. And we were told, Nate, come on, man, you gotta like give some suspense before the picture goes up, right? I mean, but there it is. I mean, all right, there's Titus and Tate, there's Jaden and Thad. Listen, all right, so while the pregnancy was going on, it was healthy all the way about 7 months in. Lisette started going into early term labor. They wanted to make sure that these babies didn't come too early, so they put her on bed rest. And this was right around Christmas time. And you can imagine for me, I'm a youth pastor. I've got my full-time work, and it's heading into a busy season at the church. She goes into bed rest, and we've got two toddlers running around like crazy, a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. And we were like, how do we navigate through this? And then the twins came. They were a month early. And so the hospital where they were born didn't have a NICU, the ICU for the newborns. So Jaden had, he was okay enough to just have some supplemental oxygen that they could do, but Thad had to, at like 1 hour old, be taken to a whole other hospital 20-some miles away. And so here I've got two kids at home with grandma and grandpa. My wife is here in this hospital with this one son and another son over here. It was absolutely crazy, that season of getting through that. Then by God's grace, they were healthy. In fact, they're not here today. You might be wondering, where are Jaden and Thad? They are actually on a trip right now back down to Georgia for a week of helping at a camp and some various things. They'll be back next Sunday with one of our other sons, Titus. So that'll be fun to have him home. But man, you can imagine the zoo it was at our house. Look at that. I mean, craziness. It was a blur of diapers and late nights and getting up in the middle of the night to help feed babies. So one kid who wakes up, you feed the child, you change the diaper, you put him back to bed. Two of them, it like multiplies. It feels like you have four of them because one wakes up and wakes up the other one that would have been sleeping, and then now this one's awake, and then they both need to be fed and diapers changed and put back to bed, so mom and dad are both helping. But then like this one cries, and then the other one wakes up, and you don't get the full like 2-3 hour break in between. It just keeps happening over and over, and you're like, oh my goodness. Uh-huh. There's a club in heaven for moms of multiples, right? And then Lisette was brave. She's going to go out and like, I'm going to the store. I'm not going to be one of those that's just like, I'm going to be determined to still keep some sense of regular life. But we looked like a circus, right? You show up at the store. We had a minivan. It had 4 car seats in it. And then there was a gigantic stroller. She would get out of the back and then wheel that thing up and put the brake locks on. And then you're getting one infant out and putting it in. And you get the other one out. So you got this gigantic, looks like a limousine of strollers, you know? And so there's that and the big old diaper bag. And then you got Tyson Tate hanging off the side like they're monkeys, like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, you know? And she's wheeling through the store. People are giving her looks like, what's the matter with you? And she's like, hey, we're just coming through. Pay no attention to us. And man, it was nuts. She's like, she's nodding her head. She didn't know this was, but you know, this is what you get. All right. So here's the fast forward photo from a few months ago. Ah, right. Yeah. They're all taller than me. It's not fair. And they have much more gorgeous hair than me too. They're looking more like Jesus every day. I was gonna say. So life is good. It's an incredible blessing. But a year into all of that, Lisette's health started crashing. where, I mean, it was like she had no energy to even get up anymore. We found out it was her adrenals had flatlined down to zero. She had autoimmune things that were cropping up that she never knew about and are accelerating now with this exhaustion. And we didn't know what to do. We were praying. We were asking others for help. And like, I mean, we had our church, thankfully, while they teased us mercilessly, they also helped us with like a diaper drive and like someone to help watch the kids for a couple hours so I could go to a normal work day for a bit and then come home. And I would do a lot of work at night when they were in bed, that those first months at least. But then this hit, and yeah, we just needed help. And we prayed, and God was gracious to us to help us in these times of trials. You know, when mom is down and you got a house full, it's hard. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't help her. And so the Lord graciously led us to a good doctor who was able to figure some of these things out and start a process of her regaining her strength and her health. And I'm grateful she has that today. Here she is. So God is faithful in every season. You've got stories. I've got stories. The ways that God meets you in the midst of difficult times, the way he provides, the way he shows you the path forward when you can't see it. We've been through things in our marriage of like, okay, it's time to move. And man, with my role, you don't just like submit a job application and you got to like sell your house. You got to like go to a whole new place, and there's a whole process to that, and the right fit and the right calling and discerning the Lord's voice in all of that. He's been faithful in a couple of times of that. He's been faithful when we've had to help our boys think through, okay, what about your future? Let's pray through this. Let's lean into this. And where should you go to college? And they're getting married now. So, you know, you're working through those kinds of things. And God just walks with us through all the seasons of life, doesn't he? One of the verses that has just stuck with me through all of my years, I learned this when I was a teenager, as I was just leaning into the Lord, really for my own journey of faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Maybe you know it by heart. I know it by heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, because we don't have it figured out, do we? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. We need promises like that from our God. We need assurance that he's going to walk with us through all the seasons of life, the trials and the hardships that we face. And over again, he's proved himself faithful. We're stepping into our second message here in the book of James. We're going to start at the beginning, go all the way to the end. And last week, we started into gym class, the book of James. And we looked at this call for us if we're in the midst of trials, consider it joy. The Lord is giving us joy in his presence and his provision in the midst of it, because he is wanting to develop our faith, develop our perseverance in our faith, so that we'll become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Ironically, as it finishes with that in verse 4, saying not lacking anything, verse 5 starts with, but if you're lacking wisdom, ask the Lord. One thing we may always be lacking in life is wisdom, because we don't have enough information. We don't see the end from the beginning like God does. We will always need his wisdom until the day we die. And in heaven, we're still going to need it, because we're going to be so overwhelmed with his unbelievable knowledge and glory that we're going to be learning all the way through heaven, because God is inexhaustible in all of his attributes. And it will be so incredible for us there one day in heaven. And just wait, folks. Just look forward with anticipation what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be incredible. But God has enough for us today to walk with us in every season of life, every difficulty, every twist and turn of life. He's with us. And so we're going to step here into verses 5 through 8 this morning and see what God has to say to us about it. So look at God's word with me. He's speaking to you and I today. I pray that he personally speaks to you. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he should believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. This is God's word to us today. A couple of key ideas we're going to look at today. The first one is kind of implicit within here, but it's worth stating even though it's obvious. God is God, and we are not. That's some of the most freeing words to be able to say this morning, and yet we have such a hard time getting it through our minds. God is God. He is uniquely qualified in ways that we are not to have wisdom. First off, he created this world. There was nothing other than him, and then he spoke, and everything came into existence. He's the God who can utter words, and things appear. Can you do that? I cannot. I wish I could, but I can't. I think it was a year or two ago, I said a similar thing, and I said, let there be Snickers. I would love if I could do that, and I can't. So, unfortunately, we don't have that ability. God is also one who is transcendent above all that has been made. What does that mean? He is separate from it in a way that he doesn't get caught up in his own existence, being worried about what's happening with the world, and somehow his well-being is dependent upon what happens in our world in any way. God is transcendent. I'm so grateful he is. The sinfulness and wickedness of this world, he is above all of that. The shifting shadows of our world, he is above all of that. And he sees things with perfect wisdom. Listen to that. For you, what you've been through, the trials, the tragedies, you've had to persevere through. God sees it with perfect wisdom. And understands and has a full grasp of what you're going through, but what he is doing in the midst of it. God is also full of knowledge. He knows every number of hairs we have on our heads. Some of you it's more, some of you it's less. I'm looking at some of the bald heads in the room. He knows everything that's happening in your life right now. He knows what's happening not just in our lives, but in the 7 billion people who are on this planet, plus every ant and bug and animal and leaf all across this entire globe. Every cell, every molecule, he knows them all. Think of his incredible knowledge. Across the entire universe. He's also incredibly wise. Think of playing a game of chess against someone who knows all the moves of the entire game when he sits down. It's not even fair. A good chess player can look 2 or 3 moves ahead. The best ones, 4 or 5 moves ahead. God can see every one of them before it ever began. For the entire world. He is uniquely qualified to dispense wisdom to you and I. So shouldn't we trust him for his wisdom? But there's this eensy-weensy little thing that gets in the way of that. You said self? Yep. I'm going to go with pride. Pride is self-thinking that says, I got this. I can handle this. I know what's going on. I'll step into that. I'll fix this. Who are we to think that we know more than God? You know, pride is what got Satan in a whole heap of trouble. Lucifer was his name. He was an incredibly powerful angel. God had made him with authority, with power, with a kind of majesty about him as an angel who served the Lord. And he thought, no, I want to be God instead. And God cast him down out of heaven along with a third of the angels that had rebelled with him. And he's still fighting against God to this day, and his doom is sure. Adam was prideful. He was the first ancestor of ours, the first human being created, and it only took one temptation from Satan to take him down. And Adam's temptation was the same as Satan's. God is trying to hold you back. He knows if you eat from this tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, then your eyes will be opened and you'll be just what? Like him. Same temptation. And he fell. And all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. We think we're wise. We think we've got it figured out. At times, right? If we're honest, don't we act that way? A lot of the time. It's our pride. And we need to understand that God is God and we are not. I had a professor in seminary say something that sticks with me all the way to today. I think about it sometimes, and I think it stings a little bit to hear this. He said, you can tell how much you really believe you need God by how much you pray. And you can tell how much you think you don't need God by how much you don't pray. That stings. In other words, prayer is my declaration of dependence upon the Lord. And the lack of prayer is my declaration of independence on the Lord. We can have a running conversation with God at all times, all through the day. He's there. He's available to us. He said, come boldly before my throne. I will receive you. I want to walk with you. In fact, I dwell inside of you, and I want us to have this kind of relationship. And yet so often, we just plow ahead forward. We just move along. We just try to fix everything. We just try to do it ourselves. And we're ignoring the simple truth that we're invited to here in James chapter 1, that God is God and we are not. Lean into that with me. I fail at this too. But let's hear the invitation of the Lord. Lean into this glorious truth that God is God and we are not. And it comes to then the first obvious point from verse 5 then. We can ask God and he likes to give wisdom. It says these words. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. If you are one who has a paper copy with you, and you have a pen or a highlighter, and you like to mark places in Scripture, this would be a good one to consider. Verse 2 also, but this one. In fact, I actually have 2 through 5 underlined in mine. You need a promise to stand on right here. He says, hey, come ask me for wisdom. I'll give it generously without finding fault. The last words of it are this promise. It says, it will be given. God will do it. If you want to stand on a promise this morning, here you go. It says that he'll give it without finding fault. This word, finding fault, is the same word that was used of when the 2 criminals who were being crucified next to Jesus heaped insults on him. They were mocking him. Oh, if you're really the Son of God, come down off of that cross. Yeah, let's see if you really are who you say you are. What this is saying is that God will give you wisdom without mocking you, without insulting you. Oh, what's the matter, you little wimpy pants? You mean you can't figure that out? What's the matter? I gave you all the tools in life, and you're not even using them. God doesn't do that to us. Hey, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I'm watching you. No, he says, come to me. He's like a father with his children, a good father who's kind, who receives his children and wants the best for them. And he's saying, come to me, ask me. I'll give you wisdom without finding any fault in you. I'm not going to make you pay. I'm not going to tease you. I'm not going to turn you away. Come to me. I see that this such a reassuring invitation from him. But the other side of that that goes with it is he says, I'll give it to you generously, liberally, freely. All right, I have a word picture for this one. Giving it to us generously. It's summertime. How many of you like to go to an ice cream shop and go order some hard dip ice cream from the store? Only the people in the front? Come on. I know a bunch of you signed up for Scoops and Scripture, and you're going to go with Jay and Sorrow and go to different ice cream shops around. Now, let me ask it again. How many of you like to go to ice cream shops in the summertime? Even still, a bunch of you are liars. I know you do. Thank you for the ones who are honest. I am a part of that group. Not the group, but part of the group that likes ice cream. Definitely. And when I go to one of those shops, I kind of stand back a little bit. I'm like, I want some other people to order first because I like to find out which of the employees of the ice cream shop is really going to give a good amount of ice cream to me. And I want to wait in turn and find out like, okay, that one's done. Okay, now I'm in line because I want you. I want you to do my ice cream. You know the kind where you get a cone and they go carefully and get the right amount and stuff your cone full and then smash it down in there. And then they like build a little base on top of that. And then they go down in there with their scooper and they're like working that ice cream and balling it up into like the size of a softball, you know, maybe a bowling ball. That's okay too. You know, they're like rolling it up and then they're going there. It's like hard to balance on their scooper. And then they like, you know, gets on top and then they have to smash it on to make sure it stays. That's who I want to do my ice cream cone. God gives us wisdom like that. Generously, freely. In fact, if I could give you the whole bucket, I would, you know, but you only ordered the one scoop. I'm not sure I could do the whole bucket. That's how God gives wisdom to us. He's not going to nitpick. He's not a miser who's going, they only deserve this much. His heart is for us, folks. Come to the Lord. Ask him all through the day. It could be little things. There's no small thing that he goes, you don't need to bug me with that. No, every little thing, talk to the Lord about. Every big thing, talk to the Lord about. And if you already talked about it with him, go, hey, God, I want to just remind you. This is on my heart. He'll be like, I know. I'm with you. I want to talk about that too. He will walk the whole day with you. And he loves to hear from his kids. But you might be sitting here thinking, that's not always my experience. I ask the Lord for things and I ask him for direction and guidance and he doesn't just zap it into my brain. It doesn't just come in a moment. And I'd say, you're right. It's not telling us here the timing necessarily. I will say there are times I've experienced often that I ask the Lord about something and he will answer me in his still small voice in my heart. Have you heard from the Lord? Do you know what the voice of the Lord sounds like? I don't hear it with my ear, but sometimes I just know something. He gives me peace or a prompting or maybe even a word in my heart or in my mind. Or he leads me to a scripture or he has a way of talking to us. I think sometimes our motor is just running too fast. We're not hearing him. He's always talking. In fact, in John 10, Jesus said that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. He's speaking to us. Sometimes we just need to slow down long enough. Maybe take not just a minute, but 10, 20, 30, as we've spent time with the Lord, as we've laid our heart before him and our needs before him, prayer isn't a one-way conversation. It's not us just talking to the Lord. We need to stop and we need to listen. We need to journal. We need to receive and capture what we're hearing from the Lord because he doesn't always shout. It's often in a whisper. So he is speaking, and there are times where he's giving us those promptings or those words or a direction. And he can do the miraculous even in, Lord, I need wisdom in this. And within the day or within the next day, there's an answer to something, and we're going, oh my goodness, like I just prayed for that, and God just did this. This is incredible. I've talked to some folks who have had need for a doctor, and they've said, we're going through this, and I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. And then it's like the Lord opens the door, whether they were doing research or they were talking to somebody, they get that doctor, and then something like breaks through where they have something lined up that they didn't think they were going to have. Like, I've just heard a story about that from our church very recently. Like, he does those kinds of things. It's just not always like that. Sometimes he asks us to walk through a bit of a process with him. I don't know about you, but you know, I'm going to go back to the whole food illustration because, you know, lunchtime is coming. The best food I eat is not the food that comes in 30 seconds. A Pop-Tart? Yeah, I can throw that in the toaster, or I can throw it in the microwave, and zing, the Pop-Tart is out. And I'm like, yes, I'm eating a Pop-Tart. I like Pop-Tarts, but the best food I eat takes a little bit of time. You know what I'm talking about? If I'm going to eat some vegetables, the best way I like vegetables prepared is to be steamed. And it takes a little bit of time for that water to boil, and you know, you put in that little pot, and it has to, you know, sit there for probably, I don't know, 15 minutes before it's nice and just right. You know, you don't want it ushy-gushy, you know, because that's kind of gross. But you don't want it rock hard. Like if we're making broccoli, there's just in between how you want that broccoli to be, and it tastes the best, right? If I have a steak, I'm not putting my steak in the microwave for 30 seconds, zing, and it's out. I want the steak to marinate for 24 hours beforehand. I want to take it out, get it to room temperature. I want to put it on the grill, and I want the grill to be nice and hot so it sears in the juices, and I want some of that kind of smoky flavor, some flames maybe in there, and I there's just a way that the middle, I like it pink, right? I don't know about you. I like the warm pink middle. Maybe you like yours still mooing. I'm not sure. Maybe you like yours burnt to a crisp. But there's something about grilling it just the right way that draws out all the flavor. You can't do that in 30 seconds. It takes some time. Bake a pan of brownies. There's chemical reactions that are happening in there with the eggs and the flour and the baking soda and the butter, and it just rises into this. Did I say brownies? Okay, no, that's too thick. Maybe like this, right? It goes from batter to delicious. Well, it's already delicious when it's batter. But you know what I mean. You don't make a pan of brownies in 30 seconds. It's got to bake. And in the same way, this process of seeking the Lord for wisdom sometimes has to bake. Sometimes has to steam. Sometimes has to marinate. Sometimes has to sit on some flames and draw out the flavor in our souls. The Lord's cooking something in us. When we have something on our hearts, he's drawing us into this relationship with him. He's drawing us into trust of him. He's drawing us into trusting him and forming something in us that we could not have any other way. There's not a microwave spiritual maturity. It's always going to be crock pot or oven. That's how it works. If you look at the life of Moses was one who was not walking with the Lord in any active, deep way that we could tell prior to the burning bush. He knew of the Lord, but he was out in the wilderness, and maybe he was cultivating a relationship with God, but he was definitely surprised at the burning bush by the presence of the Lord. Moses was in that interaction focused almost entirely on the how and the why. God said, I have a mission for you, but I'm revealing myself to you right here. Moses is like, but I have 1,000 questions, and I'm not sure how this is going to work. His first interactions with God were like that. But if you track the life of Moses through the drawing the Israelites out of Egypt and all the miracles and everything that he saw, you start to notice Moses goes up on that mountain and he hangs out for a while. And Moses goes to that tent of meeting And he's there, and it says, face to face with God. He learned to lean into the relationship, just to be with God, just to behold his glory. And yes, in the process, he would get the marching orders, he would get the wisdom, he would get all that he needed. But he would come back to the people after hours away, and his face was glowing. Now, I don't know that your face will glow by spending time with God, literally in your skin. But your heart will. It says it in Scripture that our hearts are being transformed by the glory of God into his image. Lean into the Lord. If you're not hearing instant results, it's okay. Just be with him. Seek his face, not just his hands that can do what you need done. If a kid is all focused on what mom and dad can give them and do for them, then the kid is what we might call spoiled. A kid who learns to be with mom and dad and be with the family learns relationship. And in the relationship, you have everything you need. But don't just seek the things of God. Seek to know him, to be with him, to be part of the family. And everything else will flow from there. That's the invitation. And so I thought, well, let's take it just another step forward. Let's talk about the ways that God then tells us his will, tells us the wisdom that we need in our life. And there's five things I want to walk through. We'll kind of hit it pretty briefly. You may have heard these five things before, but bear with me. Listen to him again. God may have something in here that he wants to just remind you of how he's speaking to you in your life. The first way that God speaks to us is through his word. This word is directly for us. It's been preserved for thousands of years, and yet every word is as relevant today as it was back when. We may not have the full context, but the words are living and active, Hebrews 4 says. These words are able to cut down right in between our soul and our spirit and get right to where God wants to address something. In fact, Romans 12 tells us that the way we can be renewed in our minds is by his word. God is wanting to change the way that we even look at the world by being in this. Psalm 119 says that his word is a lamp for my lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. If you've ever been in the dark and you need a flashlight, you don't shine the light up here because you're going to stumble into stuff. You shine it right where you're walking. And the word of God does that for us. You want to know how you need to walk? Spend time in this. And what it involves is not just opening it up, reading it for a minute, like, okay, check, done. I move forward with my day. No, we won't read it in a way that we're going to marinate in it for a while. We're going to read it. We're going to pray, talk to God about this, what we're reading. We're going to ask questions. We're going to research. We're going to find a spot that really is meaningful to us, and we're going to memorize it. We're going to journal about it. For me, the biggest breakthrough to really grasp what God is saying is to be able to not only ask the questions that and research about it, then to go, God, I'm keying in on this spot here, and I hear you saying this, and I pray that this will really be done in my life today, that you'll help me to be able to live into this. Like stew on it like that. And then it becomes part of your heart and it becomes part of your mind. And you remember it at 3 o'clock when you studied it at 7 o'clock that morning. It comes back to you because you spent some time on it. You didn't just read it and shut it. Spend time with the Lord in his word. We really want to hear what he has to say to us. He's speaking to us. The next way he gives wisdom is through his Holy Spirit. We're walking in relationship with the Lord. And the scripture is very clear to tell us of between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who lives in us. It's the Holy Spirit. We're told a couple of places that Jesus is in us, but we're also told that he's in us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who dwells within us, and his whole job is to reveal to us the heart and the love and the will of the Father, and also apply to us all the work that Christ has done and is doing for us. The Holy Spirit is the one who's applying all of that. Scripture tells us a couple things about his role. He's called the counselor. Do you need wisdom? Well, talk to the counselor. He's able to literally walk us through things in that interaction that we have with him. He's called the comforter when we're in trouble and difficulty. His role is to guide us into all truth and remind us of everything that Jesus taught us. So he's illuminating this word to us. He's helping us to understand what God has to say to us. He gives promptings. He gives words. He gives peace or a lack of peace to even trouble us when we're going the wrong way or convict us of sin in the wrong direction. And so he's a gift to us. Lean into the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. Another way that he speaks to us is through his people, through wise counsel that God gives us through others. This doesn't mean listen to everybody. You can get 1,000 people and they're all going to say a different thing. Key into the people that you know are a little further down the road from you in your spiritual walk, who have a wisdom that they live out in their life and go, I want to learn from that person. Or I got to bounce this situation off of somebody. I'm going to not just talk to someone who will tell me what I want to hear. I want to tell somebody who I know will look at it through a biblical lens, who walks with the Lord, and I want their questions. I want their input. I've been blessed with having some godly people in my life from young age up. You know, my parents have been good counsel for me. As I've walked through ministry, I've had various people who have shepherded me and mentored me. In college, there was a youth leader as I was serving as a volunteer, and he shepherded me. I got into my first ministry, and it was a little bit difficult relationship with that pastor, but there were others as well who spoke into my life. I learned a lot of things I didn't want to do in ministry by that pastor where it was difficult, but then into another pastorate where the senior pastor really poured into me. Really, if you want to know how I really grew the most in ministry and in leadership, it was because of that pastor. He spoke great words into my life and modeled it, and just the invitation into walking with him. Our elders here at our church and other staff have helped us to know and discern God's will and voice for our church when we've needed to make decisions. Godly people who have gone before us. I look at people like Dan Borman, who prays and leans on the Lord. His example, Glenn Ganot, Chet Musser, Randy Corbin, guys like that. Like, we need people who have gone before us and who have that kind of counsel to speak into our life. Surround yourself with people like that and learn from them. I'm also shepherded by our district leadership here in the Christian Missionary Alliance. We have 22 districts around the United States. Well, one is in eastern Pennsylvania, and I there's a team of guys who shepherd all the pastors in our district, and I learn from them, and they guide me. Another way that we can gain wisdom from the Lord is through experience. He's teaching us all along the way in life. If you went through a hard season 20 years ago, like I described, some of you aren't even 20 years old yet. It'll come, trust me. Or a year ago. There, everybody's been at least a year. If he taught you something then, don't forget it. So that when you face something new, you go, I remember how God was with me. I remember what he spoke to me then. I remember how he proved himself faithful. I will trust him now in this circumstance. And we lean into the Lord. Some of the most godly people are ones who have walked with him for a lot of years, and they get to the end of their life, and they're not scared to meet the end of their life. They're looking forward to meeting Jesus. I'm like, I want to be like that. I want to have learned from walking with the Lord so long in my life that I don't fear anymore. I want to trust the Lord in all things. And so learn from the experience he's given you. Speaking of Moses, God worked with him to teach him things. There's the school of hard knocks that Moses went through, of testing and trials. There's also the ways that God miraculously provided for him. After that burning bush experience, when Moses had all these questions of how and who will I say is sent me and all this stuff, God said, okay, we're going to have a little a little show and tell here so you can see who I am. He says, Moses, put your hand into your cloak. And Moses listened. He did what the Lord said. He pulled it out. My hand is full of leprosy. I didn't want you to do that. I'm trying to listen. And the Lord's like, just hold on. Just relax. Now put your hand back in your cloak. And he pulls it out and it's healed. God says, do you see him? I can do anything. Just trust me. Just listen to me. Hey, Moses, take your staff and throw it on the ground. Okay? What's going to happen this time? Throws it on the ground and becomes a snake. Ah! It's a miracle. Wow. But I don't want anything to do with that snake. God says, now pick it up by the tail. Are you sure, God? I can get a new staff. Really? No, pick it up by the tail. And it becomes a staff again. God says, I've got you. Right? The experience taught him to trust the Lord. God's doing that in your life, maybe not in such dramatic ways, but he's doing it. Pay attention how God is working. The last of these five is through process. What this means is that there's often a step-by-step as he's trying to guide us through things. Most of our trials that are big are going to take a while. It's not going to be a one-time done and fix, and we move forward and forget about it. Most of the things that are heavy on our hearts are going to take some time, like turning the Titanic around. It's going to be one little bit at a time. He guides us today, then he guides us tomorrow, then there's another piece of wisdom he gives, then there's a little bit more, then it's a little bit more. Speaking of when I finished seminary and that pastor that was really hard to work with, we knew that that wasn't where the Lord had us. Plus, that was only a part-time job. It was time to move into a full-time job. Titus was being born right around that time. And I remember having these conversations with God, like, Lord, you have to provide. We have a new one on the way. We need income. I need insurance. But also, I want to serve you in a place that's meaningful. And you know my heart is hurting right now. Like, would you lead us? I had a lot of heart-to-heart conversations with God. But he didn't just drop something out of the sky and say, this is what I want you to do. It was a process. Walked through us, we Lisette and I talked through where would we want to live? Well, even what areas are we looking at? And we picked like five different regions, five districts in the Christian Missionary Alliance and said, okay, I'm going to at least start with putting a resume out to these places and we'll see what happens. And so I back then mailed it to the district offices. And within a week, I heard from three different districts who said, hey, let's schedule a phone call where we can talk about this a little bit further. So we had a little bit of initial conversation with the district guys. And then they said, well, we have this church in our district that I think you could be a possible fit for. And I'm going to pass your resume onto that. So they mailed my resume over to that church. And then I heard from that pastor. And then we would schedule a phone conversation. And this went on for weeks of us just praying and waiting, seeking the Lord. And out of those three churches that we talked to, one really emerged, and this seemed like where God was giving us the most fit and peace as we were praying through it. The Holy Spirit, counsel, talking to other people, getting guidance from people in our life. And so eventually they had us come out and visit with a three-week-old baby on an airplane, and we went to this place in Ohio, and during that couple day interview, we just sensed the Lord on about day two give like this click in our hearts, like, this is a fit. Here's where I want you to be. And he gave the same to them and their team. And so we, by the end of that time, we were ready to say yes when they offered that to us. And there it was for 12 years. I got to be in that church, mentored by that pastor. And it was clearly a place the Lord had us to go and to grow and thrive. So he does that kind of stuff over a process. That was probably 3 months in that process. Some of our processes are 3 weeks. Some of them are 30 years. But he's walking us bit by bit along the way in his will, and he's giving us wisdom in our hearts. You know, they say, good things come to those who wait. I think that was Heinz 57. Had a whole commercial about that. Let me tell you, that's almost scripture. Isaiah 40, 31 says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. The Lord is calling us to wait on him, to draw us into his heart through times where we need wisdom. And I'll tell you that part about process, that number five, is going to involve all the previous four. He's going to keep drawing from those as you walk through that process. And in it, something is changing, and we're drawing close to the heart of God. Which leads us to the last part, and we'll land here with this. We get actually three verses we haven't even talked about yet, but they all kind of smash together with one idea. What happened? It went to blank? It went to nothing? I didn't hear you. Goodbye. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate that. All right. Have faith in God alone to give wisdom. Have faith in God alone. Look what it says. But when he asks, he should believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Listen, God's not going to just cut you out because of some doubt. He's merciful. He knows we're a work in progress. But the wording that's literal here is more helpful. It says, let him ask in faith, not doubting. What this means is if you're going to come to the Lord and you're going to ask, don't have your plan B in your back pocket and go, well, I'm gonna try asking the Lord, but really I already have my whole plan worked out, and I'll fall back on this if he doesn't come through. What kind of faith is that if we think it all through first and then go, okay, God, now I'm ready for input if you want to give it? That's not really faith. That's what he's getting at here. He says if you do that, you're like a wave that's being tossed around in the ocean. You're just blowing this way, and then you're blowing this way, and you're not really landing on a faith in the Lord. Or he says you're a double-minded person. The literal wording here is you're double-souled. Your soul, you know, you put this forward with God, but you're really holding this back over here. I was reading a source that said that's like spiritual schizophrenia. You know, I'm going to show God this, but I'm going to actually have this personality over here that's just not. He says, don't be double-minded like that. Don't be double-souled like that. You're unstable in all you do if that's how you're handling it. But seek God's wisdom for your life. Seek his direction. Seek his voice. It's going to come through the Word. It's going to come through the Spirit. It's going to come through wise counsel. It's going to come through experience. It's going to come through process. Have faith that God will reveal to you his will. I don't know what you might be going through here today. I don't know where this finds you in your life. Maybe the need for wisdom is right in front of you. God says, come ask. And so I'd like to just have a moment for us. Just take a little bit of time. This would be maybe a first conversation or a restarting of a conversation that you need to have with the Lord that should continue long after this. But take your need. Take your life before him, and then I'll be glad to pray over us as we dismiss. Just take a moment before the Lord. In your heart, acknowledge that he's God and you're not. But be assured, he likes to give wisdom to those who ask. Have faith that he will give you wisdom. So present your need, present your life. If you're going through a trial, if you're in a difficulty of some kind, if you've got a decision to make, bring it before the Lord. Jesus, you're the shepherd of your people. You're the good shepherd. And your sheep learn your voice. I pray that blessing over us today, O Lord, that we would increasingly learn to discern the voice of Jesus in our life, the voice of the Holy Spirit in our life. That we would trust you, that we would follow you. In fact, Lord, that scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Oh, Lord, would you help us to trust you with all of our heart and acknowledge you in all of our ways, that you would guide your people with your generous wisdom today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. Please do sign up for the Jubilee Day time. We're going to reach out to our community. Sign up kids for Vacation Bible School. Go in peace with the Lord.